John Jackson, W266DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Peter King. The Israeli military has released a video it says shows soldiers trying to rescue trapped civilians and wounded soldiers under heavy gunfire during the fourth day of its war with Hamas. Officials say Israel now controls the border near Gaza in a day which has also seen its military bombard downtown Gaza City. Correspondent MTS Tayyab says even those people far away are in danger.
There's been a barrage of rockets that were intercepted above here in Tel Aviv, which you can imagine is pretty far from Gaza. And it really just underscores the fact that that really tense situation at the south of the border is still affecting many other parts of Israel as well. Dozens of Israeli battalions have been mobilizing along the Gaza perimeter fence. We also know that around 300,000 Israelis have volunteered to be reservists. These are staggering numbers.
At least 1,800 people are reported killed on both sides. Hamas claims to have taken at least 150 people hostage. Some Americans may be among them. This man's daughter is missing.
We are asking on behalf of my family for President Biden and Secretary of State to do what they can to make this end for us as soon as possible.
National Security Council spokesman John Kirby tells CBS News the U.S. has offered help to Israel on freeing those hostages. With no speaker, the U.S. House is paralyzed. Can't offer any help to Israel yet. Ohio Republican Jim Jordan wants the job, and he tells Fox News getting a new speaker in place is essential.
We need to give Israel the time, the space, the resources so that they can win and win decisively.
There could be a vote as soon as tomorrow. An American journalist being held in Russia since March won't be free for more than a month. CBS's Vicky Barker is at the foreign desk.
Evan Gershkovich stood inside a glass booth in the Moscow courtroom, swaying slightly from side to side as he heard the judge reject the appeal of his detention on spy charges and order him held until November 30th. The 31-year-old, the Wall Street Journal, and the U.S. government have all strongly denied the allegations, and Russia has not provided public evidence to support its accusation. Vicky Barker, CBS News, London.
In a story right out of the movie Footloose, a Los Angeles high school principal removed 17-year-old Kaylee Timonet from student government presidency and said he'd stop recommending her for scholarships after he saw a video of her dancing off campus. Kaylee fought back.
I'm not backing down. I'm going to stand my ground no matter how hard it is.
The principal has apologized and requested a leave of absence. The Dow is up 150. This is CBS News.
You need to hire? Indeed is with you every step of the way, helping you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Waukesha's transition to Lake Michigan water continues. People are advised to run their faucets briefly and postpone laundry for a short period to allow any sediment in their pipes to clear following the transition. There may be a slight change in water odor and taste over the next few days. The transition will also result in slightly higher water bills for Waukesha residents. Milwaukee had a rough Monday with four shootings in a little over 2 hours. According to police, five people were shot in total and one of them died. The fatal shooting occurred around 4:30 in the northern part of the city, where a 36-year-old was shot and killed. Investigators are actively searching for two teenage suspects in connection with that case. There was also an early morning shooting that left a pastor injured, followed by three more shootings, all taking place last night. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich. sandwich, just 25 cents. The pin, still set by people, swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pin still being set by people, no machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite local radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app, and we invite you to get social with us by following our network's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook pages. Want even more? CivicMedia.us.
From the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Matinere.
Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin, Hour 2 on this Tuesday, October 10th. Greg Bach, soup fan on the board. Dominic Selvia from Devil's Advocates. You can catch him later on today. You've been working a lot, my friend.
Lots to do.
Along with Mike Crute and my Tuesday co-host for the next couple of months while Kristen is out. I don't mean to... Well, yes. Okay, I'm going to brag. I met baby Frances on Sunday.
So cute. Tiny little peanut,
She is a little bean. She is just a teeny little bean. We're maybe going to see her debut tomorrow. Kristen's going to join us from 10:30 to 11 from home.
Aww.
So I encourage you to watch the live stream that you can do on Twitter, on Facebook, on all the things. And then you can also leave comments if you're watching the stream, in addition to texting us or emailing us or calling us at 844-967-2789.
And those better be nice comments.
About the baby? They'll all be nice comments.
Yes, they will.
About little Francis. That will be tomorrow. Coming up at 11:33, we've had him on the show once before.
So looking forward to it.
Yeah, Corey Forrester is a comedian from down south, and he and two of his friends, they call themselves the
Redneck Liberals.
The Redneck Liberals.
Nice.
And he and Trey Crowder, who is another comic, wrote a book called Around Here and Over Yonder, about some of their travels all over the world. It's available right now on Amazon. So we're going to recheck in with Corey and some of the stories he has in his book.
Awesome.
It's very refreshing to hear his point of view. So
yeah, yeah.
I'll stick around for that. We're going to start things off, though, talking about... This is a local story that I think, unfortunately, because there is always, at least it seems to be, there's always such an avalanche of news that it tends to get pushed aside, or, you know, it's not getting enough attention or as much attention as it should deserve. So here's the setup for it. This is from the Cap Times. In August of 2021, the Wausau Pilot and Review, which is a local online publication, reported that Corey Tomchick used a homophobic slur towards a 13-year-old boy at a local government meeting in Marathon County. Now, this was before Tomchick was elected to the Wisconsin Senate. He filed a defamation lawsuit against the Wausau Pilot and Review because he said that that was not true. Now, ultimately, the case was dismissed by Marathon County Circuit Judge Scott Corbett. He dismissed the suit, ruling in favor of the paper's owner, and the Wausau Pilot determined that based on his role in the community, on a local school board, he's a well-known business owner, talking about Corey Tomchick, and as a leader of the regional GOP committee, he did meet the requirements for a limited purpose public figure, and as such would have to prove the pilot published the story with specific malice against him, which his legal team did not meet. Well, what happened next was Tomchick's legal team immediately announced their intention to appeal. and filed an appeal brief citing journalistic malpractice by the pilot and review. They argue that at the time, Tomchick was a private citizen and there should be granted extra protections. So the paper's owner's legal team now has until November 8th to respond to this appeal. His attorneys are working on the response, but this has cost them hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Right.
Legal fees add up really, really quickly. And there is concern that this is merely an effort to kill this publication, just to burden them with so many legal bills that it's going to either kill it or certainly intimidate reporters from doing their jobs and reporting on bad things that elected officials do.
This is what John Oliver covered a couple of years ago. This is a slap suit. That's all this is.
Slap suit.
It's a slap suit.
Which means it is really without merit.
Not without merit and done for malice.
Very, very Trumpian.
Yeah, it is very Trumpian. So since the lawsuit was filed, again, according to the Cap Times, the owner says she and her news outlet have gotten community support, providing reassurance, but also hate mail that shakes her resolve as larger news organizations reduce their staff and cut back on local accountability reporting. That's bad, folks. We need local people on the ground in small communities to keep watch on things. That's why they're there. And I worry that because we got so used to all this free information, and now we have to subscribe.
Right.
And everybody's, well, there's no news anyway. There's, you know, nothing is new and nothing happens and it's not worth it. And it is worth it.
These papers are, as we talked about before a couple months ago regarding this story, these papers are popping up in the light of major newspapers cutting resources. And they are more important than ever, because they are giving local news to local people about what's going on within blocks of their home.
Yeah.
And they need to be protected, and they need to be able to write what they need to write in order to inform the people. If the New York Times isn't going to do it, or the Washington Post can't do it. So.
Right. And as the owner says, these are people, the reporters talking about, these are people putting their necks on the line to get out there because they care about their community, not because they're trying to tell some narrative or to push some kind of agenda. Being a reporter is not a sexy job, you guys. No. And it's not like it really pays so great that everybody's jumping into this field.
Yeah.
Because it's a tough job. And I believe reporters do it because they love it and they believe in the importance of the
in
work
the fourth
that they're
estate
doing.
And yes. Reporting the truth and the facts. And if I recall, and I'm looking at different articles, New York Times had a piece about this as well. But apparently, several community members present at the meeting also heard Tomchick call this 13-year-old teenager the homophobic slur.
Yes.
So it wasn't, you know, this was.
It wasn't. You're
these
right.
are witnesses. These yes. are other people that were in the room that said, "Hey, this is what he said." And apparently, he's admitted in using these kinds of phrases before.
Oh, right. Again, with his brother.
In the past.
That's right. I have a gay brother.
Yes, I have a gay brother.
You know, so you've said it before. Other people heard you say it. It was reported in local news, but now you're all offended because what? People find out that you're using homophobic slurs.
Yeah. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Mark from the SAC. Good morning, Mark. What do you want to say?
Hey, Mark.
Yeah, well, the evidence on the face of it says that they were just reporting what somebody else told them, and that little Mr. Tomchick should get some adult underwear and actually fess up to the fact that he actually said this, and that because he admits he said it, he uses the word, and that it is just a slap lawsuit. And what should happen next is the next time it comes up, the judge should say, "This is a ridiculous suit, and you're going to pay for their legal bills. You're going to pay for the people you're suing's legal bills now, Mr. You know that." And how is he affording this? Who's funding his? Is he funding it himself, or is he getting assistance from the Republican Party, or who is he getting assistance for his legal bills from? And that should be public knowledge too, because he's using the public, the trial system to present this lawsuit.
That's a really good point, Mark. Who is? Because again, we all know legal bills add up really, really quickly. It doesn't take long to accumulate $100,000 worth of bills. So That's a great question, Mark. If only a local reporter could cover that. Thank you so much for calling, Mark. If anybody else wants to check in at 844-967-2789, you can call and or text. If you're watching on the stream, you can leave a comment on there as well. According to the Cap Times, the loss of local journalism has been accompanied by the malignant spread of disinformation and misinformation, political polarization, eroding trust in the media, and a yawning digital and economic divide among citizens. Local reporting is, this is just my opinion, local reporting is crucially important to communities.
Absolutely.
And the more we see these smaller papers getting gobbled up and absorbed by these big companies, there is no one watching on the ground. And there can be hanky-panky-ish things that go on when no one is watching.
We'd have got away with it, too, if it wasn't for these meddling reporters.
Yes!
I looked it up really quick, and Corey Tomchek, before he got into politics, he's owned a company called Recyclers of Wisconsin for about 32 years. So I'm guessing that he probably has the money to afford it.
Oh, maybe he does.
Yeah.
Maybe he does.
So he's just making a point. Wisconsin Madison Democrat Senator Melissa Agard and Fitchburg Democrat Rep. Jimmy Anderson, they proposed a bill back in August that will seek to deter public officials from filing lawsuits to, you know, like this, designed to intimidate entities like news organizations from exercising free speech. The SLAPP claims strategic lawsuits against public participation. Here's what Senator Agard said. SLAPP lawsuits are a weapon used by the powerful and well-connected in an attempt to intimidate or censor critics, activists, journalists, and others with a stifling financial burden. A strong, unfettered press is essential for a strong, healthy democracy and is crucial for maintaining a well-informed citizenry. She went on to call the lawsuit shameful. The bill AB 423 would create a legal avenue for victims of SLAPP lawsuits to file a motion to strike in such a suit, which would result in the dismissal of the suit in most cases. One other quote here by Rep. Anderson. By providing people with the ability to dismiss lawsuits that are designed to intimidate and harass them, this bill presents an opportunity to protect the fundamental First Amendment rights against those who would use the legal system as a weapon. Speech will never be truly free in Wisconsin as long as the powerful can shield themselves from criticism by wielding bogus legal threats against citizens, journalists, and other media representatives that wish to hold them accountable and pursue the truth to the fullest extent.
Absolutely. Well, if you want to help out, since this first lawsuit was filed in 2021, the Cap Times and Pilot Review has racked up $200,000 in legal bills. Ooh. There is a GoFundMe campaign to help them deal with some of that. As of late August, according to the Cap Times, the paper had raised more than $100,000. But if you believe in the importance of journalism and local reporting and believe that this kind of lawsuit is wrong, then do what you can.
Right.
Sometimes right. Even $5. I've been doing this a long time. We've done a lot of fundraisers for different things. You may not think that your $5 will amount to anything, but if you get enough people who chip in $5.
Yeah, help push back against the rich guy who got caught saying homophobic slurs, admitted to them before, other people heard it, and you're going to try to sue someone out of existence because you can.
It seems not right.
Seems not right.
All right, we're coming up against the break. We will be back in just a moment. Stay with us. Again, you can always check in at 844-967-2789. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Street never has complained. Ah, but publishers have worries, for publishers must go to working folks for readers and to big shots for their dough. Now publishers are such interesting people. It could be prostitution, I don't know. Ting-a-ling-a-ling, circulation, ting-a-ling-a-ling, advertising, get those readers, get that payoff. What a headache, what a mess. Oh, publishers are such interesting people. Let's give free cheers for freedom of the press.
Uh-oh, did a rock hit your windshield from that semi? Don't worry, Autoglass Now offers fast, reliable, and convenient service. For a limited time only, Autoglass Now is offering 50% off windshield replacement. Call your local Autoglass Now today for full details.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wooden installed
built in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pin still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pin still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Cloudy skies this afternoon with a high of 54. West winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows around 36 tonight. Lots of sunshine tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 58. Temps below average Thursday and Friday with highs in the mid-50s. Chance for scattered showers Thursday. Chance for scattered storms on Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 48 degrees.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and the Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Tonight there's gonna be a jailbreak somewhere in this town.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. 20 minutes past 11 o'clock. Jane Matinier in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is on the board. Dominic Salvia from Devil's Advocates, my Tuesday co-host. While Kristen is out, you can catch him again later this afternoon, 4 to 6, along with Mike Kreutz, right here across the Civic Media Radio Network. During the break, we were just kind of poking around, looking at things. And Dominic, you stumbled on something that relates to what we were talking about last hour.
You know, pardon me, it's always a little concerning when you see Wisconsin on the front of the Raw story, man. You know, seriously, never.
You know, it's rarely good.
Rarely good. Sarah Burris reporting watchdogs want answers after secret meeting between Wisconsin judges and GOP leaders. Yeah, thank you, American Oversight. They filed an Open Meetings Act request in Wisconsin this week after the AP revealed Republican leaders were coordinating with former Supreme Court justices, including an ex-chief justice. Former Wisconsin Supreme Court Chief Justice David Prosser, Republican, told the GOP Assembly Speaker Robin Voss he shouldn't impeach Protasiewicz. Prosser, who previously served as a speaker in the Assembly, had been the only former justice willing to come forward and reveal that they were on a secret panel of judges as to coordinate and advise Voss on Protasiewicz. Yes, Prosser turned over records showing that he was also coordinating with former conservative chief, former conservative chief justice Patience Rogensack.
Oh, no kidding!
Oh, look at that! Prosser revealed a voicemail Rogensack left asking if they could chat about a matter that I thought we were going to look at together. The next step from Prosser was to email Voss on Friday to advise against going after Protasiewicz. We mentioned this earlier. Impeachment is so serious. Quote. Severe and rare that it should not be considered unless the subject has committed a crime or the subject has committed indisputable corrupt conduct while in office. Since then, Prosser turned over all the information, emails, and details to American Oversight. It has since applied for further information that was not public in compliance with the state's open meeting laws, which mandate all meetings be conducted in the open unless it applies to specific exemptions. Heather Sawyer, the executive director over there, quote, this includes meetings of an advisory body like this one, which has been tasked by Speaker Voss to review and advise government action. It's bad enough to threaten to remove an elected justice for political gain, but it's an additional violation of the public trust to be making plans in secret.
No.
Wisconsin's open meetings law exists for a reason. The people have a right to know what their government is doing in their name. The panel could conclude its work before Wisconsinites know what's going on behind closed doors. So time is of the essence. We urge the court to take immediate action.
This sounds nefarious.
Oh, you've been hanging on to that all morning.
Darn right I have.
It really.
So new news. We didn't know Prosser, right? I was also commuting with Pat Rogensack.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
As it concludes here at the Raw story, former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Jeanine Geske, appointed by Tommy Thompson, joined fellow Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice, former Lewis Butler, to argue the GOP has no basis for impeaching Protaseo. So that's two conservative, one not conservative judges, former justices, telling Prosser and the Republicans, go pound sand, you guys. You're digging. You got nothing.
It's the wrong move. It's the wrong
and
move.
And you're doing it in the dark.
Well, but isn't our favorite popcorn king and chucklemeister Robin Voss trying to sell this as, I just asked some friends for their opinion.
We just had lunch. It's just lunch.
It's just lunch. It's not like we met together and sat down in one of our offices. Right. These are just my old buddies. And I value their opinion.
Yeah,
and
no
so
biggie.
They volunteered, Dom. It's, or are they getting paid?
I don't know if it even matters.
Does it matter?
I mean, you know, again, this is, why would you do this in the dark? You know, Robin Voss, if this is a thing, have a committee, do your, if this is really what you're concerned about, oh, going down the rabbit hole, right? The rabbit hole. Well, now that these liberals are in charge of the Wisconsin Supreme Court, well, then do it in the open. You know, what is all this? Bring them in, have testimony, yeah. Their analysis.
Yeah.
Put it out there.
What are we afraid of? 844-967-2789. We're going to go with John from Boaz. Good morning, John. What do you think?
Good morning. One of your fans in Boaz here, which is me, is wondering, how does it feel to be a new mom, and does the baby's eyes open yet?
Well, you know, the new mom is still at home. Kristen is still at home.
Yeah, I know that.
Okay, so she's going to be joining us tomorrow. She's going to join tomorrow from 10:30 to 11. And Frances's eyes are, for the brief moments that she's awake, her eyes do open. But I got to tell you, John,
good.
She's not awake very much. She's only like that. She's 10 days old. So there's lots of sleeping and napping and all that
bean.
Stuff.
A little bean. Thanks for the call. You know, I would think there'd be a bigger baby given, you know, Kristen's tall and her husband's tall. There's a tall people, man. Hey. Like little people like me.
No, she's and Kristen even said, I can't believe Mike and I had such a tiny baby because she's a munchkin. Anyway, Catherine is on the line from Madison. Catherine, we only got about a minute and a half. Thank you for joining us. What do you want to say?
Sure. Hi. I'm calling. I attend some meetings of this Sustainable Rural Wisconsin Network, and they said that some of the members of their different towns and so forth are having slap lawsuits brought against them because of these large animal organizations.
Oh, the CAFOs.
Enormous. Yeah, and they are now allowed to leak 500 gallons per day. I believe it's per acre, and that's allowable. And almost all of these big open pits of manure leak, and it's horrible. And of course, you know, the big companies want to keep doing this, so they're bringing lawsuits against some of the farmers that are, you know, fighting it. It's a big issue. It really is. I mean, they're having a new meeting in Door County to add 40,000 pigs to an operation there in one place.
Well,
that's an awful lot of manure.
That's an awful lot of. Yes, it is. Thank you, Catherine. We will look at that a little bit more closely and see who we can track down to talk to about that. Coming up next, very excited to have him back, Corey Ryan Forrester. Around here and over yonder, we're going to talk about his book and so much more. Stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Tonight's the night, all systems fail. Hey, you, good-looking female, come here. Tonight there's gonna be a jailbreak somewhere in the town. Tonight there's gonna be a jailbreak, so don't you be around. Tonight there's gonna be trouble.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Israeli soldiers are working
and returning gunfire as they try to save wounded soldiers and civilians from Hamas attacks. CBS's Haley Ott has been talking with military members in Tel Aviv.
I spoke to some soldiers who were turning up to report for duty, some reservists, and they said that they were absolutely shocked and scared and felt just a deep sense of anxiety about the situation now. They said they did not want a war.
Hamas claims to be holding about 150 hostages. National Security spokesman John Kirby on CBS Mornings.
We have offered assistance in the scope of experts, hostage recovery experts that we'd be willing to have coordinate with Israeli officials.
House Speaker candidate Steve Scalise says it's time to fill that post.
We've got to get back on track. This is a dangerous world right now. We stand strongly with Israel. The House needs to get back to work.
A vote could come tomorrow. CBS News Brief. I'm Peter King.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. The transition of Waukesha to Lake Michigan water is in progress. People are encouraged to briefly run their faucets and delay laundry for a short period to allow any sediment in the pipes to clear after the transition. There may be a slight alteration in water odor and taste over the next few days. The transition will lead to slightly higher water bills for Waukesha residents. You can see a map of where the water is on the City of Waukesha website. What are called high security mailboxes have been placed around the area. The Postal Service has installed the new mailboxes outside of post offices in Brown Deer, Glendale, West Allis, and Milwaukee. The upgraded mailboxes are designed to be more resistant to break-ins. Nationally, the Postal Service plans to install a total of 12,000 high-security mailboxes. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Haller House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Haller House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Earl Ingram.
It's Wednesdays. That means Dr. Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is on the line and in full effect.
I think that the caller is right to be very suspicious. So we need to kind of hold both thoughts at once. Let's see if there's something there about Robin Voss being afraid and backing down, but let's be prepared for the idea this is all a ruse.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
I can make you pick a fight with somebody twice your size.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinier in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is on the board. Dominic Salvia, my co-host on Tuesdays, while Kristen is on maternity leave. And we're really excited to have our next guest return. He was here in March before the book. And so we're going to catch up and find out all about what his life has been like on the road and writing this book. Corey Ryan Forrester joining us. The new book is called Round Here and Over Yonder. How are you doing? Welcome back.
Hey, I'm wonderful. How are y'all doing? Thank you for having me, by the way. I don't normally get a lot of repeat offers to do shows.
We had so
usually
much.
People are, you know, like, we're glad he was here, but never again.
We had so much fun with you the last time where you were here, and especially Corey, when you pointed out that liberals are annoying.
What?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I've thought a lot more about that in the interim. You know, we are, shoot ourselves in the own foot. Can't get anything done, but you know, at least we're right about everything, I guess.
It's a real farm to table annoying. It's what it is.
Yeah, you're very correct. That's true. Organic dumbassery. Oh, sorry.
You can't plan this.
This is Wisconsin. I can't use foul language. Whoopsie diddly, I believe your people.
There you go. That's a good one from your part, right? You're part of the country. Tell us about the book that you and Trey Crowder wrote called Round Here and Over Yonder.
Well, Round Here and Over Yonder is we call it a hillbilly travel guide. You know, basically the contention of the book is the stereotype is that hillbillies don't go anywhere. Which is, you know, true for the most part. You know, most people that I know and a lot of people with my accent haven't really left their, you know, own zip code. Now, here's the deal. A lot of that is because, you know, some people are like, well, there ain't nothing better out there than is here, you know. But at the same time, I try not to pick fun too much because a lot of it is sincerely just financial reasons. A lot of people can't afford, and I've been very blessed as a stand-up comedian. You know, one of the reasons that attracted me to that job, even when I was a child, was like knowing, because you grow up in the South, you assume you're born here, you're raised here, you're going to die here. And I was like, well, here's a job that like, I'll have to go everywhere. And not only will I have to go everywhere, I'll get paid to do it. And so this book was us basically saying, you know, here are the perceptions of not only the South, which is where we're from. That's the first part of the book. Here's the perceptions everybody has. Here's the reality. Then we did it for the rest of the country, the Midwest, the Pacific Northwest, Boston, all these places we've been where we, even though Southerners hate when we get stereotyped, we can't sit here and say that we don't do it to everybody else, too. So in the book, we tried to point out, like, here's what we thought before we got to Boston. Here's what we found out. Turns out it's more racist, you know, stuff like that. And then the back third of the book was the UK. We convinced HarperCollins to send us to the UK. A long dream of both mine and Trey's, we're huge Anglophiles, was like, we want to go to London and Scotland. However, we have no intention of paying for it ourselves. So when we pitched the book, it was just a United States travel book and they were like all in. And then at the last second, like fourth quarter, I threw this Hail Mary and they were like, oh, my God, rednecks in the UK. That's great. Here's an extra $10,000. So basically, yeah, a lot of it's more fun than anything. If you read my first book, The Liberal Redneck Manifesto, that was clearly politics. That was clearly reactive to the Trump administration. And I'm not saying that some of my beliefs don't bleed into this book because, you know, you write who you are and what you know. But this is really more of a fun one that we're trying to showcase that in all reality, as different as we all are, we're more the same than anything else, you know.
Corey, I got to ask you, man, what are the assumptions that you think that we, like here in Wisconsin, have about folks like you in the South? And which ones are true?
In Wisconsin, it's probably different because y'all are known as a bunch of idiots, too. So we probably have a more kindred spirit with some people from the Midwest. You know what I mean? Like the Midwest and the South aren't really that much different in people's perception because, you know, it's like, East California and New York are the one. It's like those are the two main things. And then everything else in the middle is where the stupid people are. Right. But I would say and it's, you know, and I know that not everybody feels this way, but we definitely have considered the dumbest accent when you hear a Southerner talk. And by the way, I do this, too. When you hear a Southerner talk, your first impression is not, oh, my God, I bet this is a Rhodes Scholar. You know what I'm saying? That also, you know, if you hear a dude talking like me at a bar, and I know this for a fact because it happens when we're in Boston. It happens when we're in New York. When someone hears my accent, their first thought is, ooh, I bet he'll love this racist joke. You know what I'm saying? Like, they do. It's like that's how a Southerner can identify racists from other places. Because as soon as they hear you, they're like, OK, this guy, he gets it. You know what I mean?
I have a friend.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
I was going to say, I have a friend of mine, a comic, Dave Stone from Georgia.
Who, I love Dave.
He's got a Georgia accent, but when he wants to go dumber or like more southern, he just takes that accent 30 miles outside of Atlanta and goes down far.
Yeah, I mean, when I'm on stage, like, it's impossible not to. When I'm doing a dumb character on stage, it's this guy. I tell you what, the Chinese are trying to put a vaccine in our arm that'll trick us into thinking Rachel Maddow is tolerable, you know? and now, granted, that's an impression of an actual dude I know, and he sounds exactly like that, but, like, I could do a dumb Midwestern accent, but it's not going to land the same for the general audience. So, like, as I say, it's kind of unfair of me to look at the whole world and go, it's unfair that you stereotype Southerners when even Southerners do that.
Oh, yeah.
Corey Ryan Forrester is our guest. He and fellow comedian Trey Crowder have written a book called Round Here and Over Yonder. So what were the stereotypes you expected when you came to the Midwest, Corey? And then what were the real ones that you found to be accurate?
Well, with the Midwest, I actually have a lot more expertise than Trey, simply because my wife is from Iowa. So all my in-laws are from Iowa. They're still there. We spend we used to go there for Christmas, and until my snot started freezing to the top of my lip. And now we have compromised, and we go there for Thanksgiving when it's only 32 degrees, you know. But the stereotypes for Midwestern for me were always, it's everything about the South except the good parts. You know what I'm saying? like it's everything. We both eat fried food. We both have backwards religious views, you know, except for the South, at least, is innovative when it comes to music and food. Right. At least we have that. And at least we have a poetic accent. Now, I will say this. I actually really love the Midwest, but I also love Dave and Buster's, and the Midwest is just like, you know, a state Dave and Buster's, right? It's super stupid, of course, but by God, it's fun and everybody's having a good time. You know what I'm saying? I also love what y'all do with cheese. I love what y'all do with pork. So, you know, those were the stereotypes. And I think too about the Midwest is like, you know, they have this like religiously and like, they have the same values as the South, but they're a little bit more vanilla and a little bit more boring. You know what I'm saying? Whereas the South kind of has pizzazz. I do find a lot of that to be true. However, I will say that Southern hospitality is not exclusive to the South. I've met some of the nicest people in the world in the Midwest. And I think that we have a lot in common.
I think it's interesting that you landed on the religion thing, and I don't disagree with you. I think the South tends to be a bigger fan of the Old Testament and fire and brimstone.
Yeah. Agreed. And I don't know if this is true all over the Midwest, but a lot of people that my wife's family knows are like Catholic, which is not a thing down where I'm from. And honestly, I kind of like going to a Catholic church. It's very sing-songy. You know, like they literally sing everything. Like, of course, they sing they don't have the hymns like we do, but like they will literally, the dude will just break out into song. He'll be like, and after the service, Miss Sylvia has made some chicken. And it's also like every service is the same. Like they've got a script. It's like, look, this is what mass is. Whereas in a Baptist church, dude, they'll go off script just depending on what Fox News said that week. Now, obviously, we all know that the Catholics are not all perfect, but I do find their services to be a little bit more rhythmic sometimes, you know?
It's more laid back. It's definitely like, you know, if you fall asleep, it's fine. It's a very, it's like the ASMR of churches. It's not going to really, it doesn't get you excited.
Well, yeah, the preacher's wearing a robe, not some
stupid got great costumes.
Tie. Some stupid tie that looks like the inside of a coffin.
And there's much less talk about smiting. I think there's just less. Yeah. There's less smiting.
Yeah, in the Baptist faith, we love to be smote or talked about being smote quite a bit.
Tell us some of the other highlights from your book, Round Here and Over Yonder.
Well, Scotland was probably my favorite part. I'll say, I mean, I like the entire UK, but that, you know, I want to say like, oh, I had equal amounts of fun doing every single part of the book, which I did. But the UK was the part of the book that we traveled there exclusively for the book. We'd never been there before. Everywhere else, we went back to refresh ourselves, but we'd already been there a million times, so we kind of had it, you know?
Sure.
But the UK was a completely brand new experience, and as a writer, a brand new experience just opens you up so much more than something you've done before. And what my favorite part about going to Scotland was, we always knew, like, growing up in the South, everyone is like, I'm Scots, Irish, Cherokee, or, you know, I got Scottish, whatever. So we knew, like, okay, we're probably going to have a lot in common with these people. But it was like amped up, you know, times 11. Like, when we're in London, I love the English. They're great. But they're a little New York-y in the way that, like, I'm not saying they're mean to you, but they definitely don't care if you're here, you know? Whereas as soon as we got to Scotland, all of a sudden people were just nice to random. And I was like, this is Southern hospitality. These are our people. I totally understand this. Also, when we were on the train going from London to Inverness, we sort of passed out and we came to, and we look out the window and literally both of us were like, holy shit, are we in Tennessee? Because the mountains in Scotland, everything looks the same. So it started making sense to us. Like, no wonder they came over to America, saw this, and were like, let's stop here. This is home, you know?
We recognize this.
Exactly. And by the way, listen to how crazy this is. This is something we learned. We mentioned that to the Scottish people, and this dude was like, oh, you know, that's because of Pangaea, right? It's actually the same mountain range. And we're like, what? And he goes, oh, yeah, back when the earth was just all together, these are the same mountains right here. And then it split and it moves to Tennessee. So this is the same part.
That's a really good Scottish accent, Corey. Well done. And I would just like to overhear a conversation between you and Trey and two Scotsmen after you've had a couple of drinks in the bar.
Jane, listen to the book. Listen to the audiobook. They talk about conversations I have. And one thing I felt when I was listening to the book is that, you know, as much fun as you are having in the United States, there was a sense of wonder that you even came through on listening to the book.
Okay, well, that, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, it was fantastic. I love your first book, and I really love the second book because, you know, as someone who's traveled for comedy, there is that thing of like, what are you expecting? What are you going to get? And how do you have fun with it? How do you connect with people, especially new people?
Yeah, the books couldn't be more different, and even with, like, in the way that we wrote them, because the first one, it's kind of like our first book was kind of like a singer's first album. That's the one we worked on that. We technically worked on that book our whole lives. We wrote it in 6 weeks, but it had been in us our whole lives. And a lot of it was coming from a place of pain. Now, we try to make jokes out of pain, but a lot of it was like reacting to some, you know, atrocities that we thought were going on, not only in our region, but in the country at large. And in this book, Round Here and Over Yonder, I really think it comes through how blessed we both feel to be doing this as a job and how wonderful it was. Like, there were so many moments while I was writing the book, which, by the way, even if you love it, writing is hard and taxing. And like they say that, like, you know, actors love acting, writers love having written. You know what I mean?
We're coming up against the break, Corey. We're going to keep Ryan Forrester with us through the break. He's a comedian who has written a book with a fellow comic called Round Here and Over Yonder. Corey is going to stay with us. We hope you will stay with us too. One last segment. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin. We are on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Are you ready to start a meaningful career in healthcare? Are you looking for a job that fits your work-life balance? Become a certified direct care professional today and make life better for older adults or people with a disability. WIS Caregiver Careers makes it easy. With free online training plus earn a $500 bonus. See your name on Wisconsin's Certified Direct Care Registry. Sign up today at WISCaregiverCDCP.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people. Swear and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Highs level off around 54 this afternoon under overcast skies. West winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Mainly clear tonight. Lows level off around 36. Mainly sunny skies again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 58. Mid-50s Thursday and Friday. Chance for scattered showers Thursday. Chance for scattered thunderstorms Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Hite. Currently, it's 48 degrees.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM.
Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
Amarillo by morning, up from Santa.
Welcome back. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Mantner in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is on the board. Dominic Salvia, my co-host from Devil's Advocates Radio every Tuesday. You can catch him later this afternoon from 4 to 6. And then our special guest as we round out the end of the show. So glad to have you back. Corey Ryan Forrester is a comedian who travels all over the country and is out with a second book along with fellow comic Trey Crowder called Round Here and Over Yonder. Any other things from the book, Corey, that really stick out to you?
Well, number one, if you're planning on going to Scotland, do it, especially if you're a fan of Game of Thrones, because it is so amazing how quickly you go from, oh my God, this is the Tennessee countryside. This is hillbilly heaven. There's probably a banjo and a possum being, you know, taken advantage of by someone with two teeth, to turning over and going, oh my goodness, that is the castle from Dragonstone where Khaleesi lived. It's crazy.
That's awesome. That's no.
I don't
but,
know if any of what I said made sense to anyone.
No, it all made sense, friend.
I got it. Don't worry about it, Corey. As we mentioned, Kristen Bry, who is typically the host, is on maternity leave, and I've been following you on Twitter for a while, Corey, and I know that you are a relatively new dad. How old is your son?
My son is about to turn 7 months old. So yes, I am a dad, but I'm a stay-at-home dad, which in the South means I'm a mom. You know what I mean?
We just had a comic on last week talking about being a stay-at-home dad and the things that you like, oh, you're babysitting your kids. Like, no, I'm being a parent right now.
Dude, that stuff, that used to, like, I used to always think about, you know, what you just said even before I had a kid, but now even more, like when people are like, oh, it's so wonderful. Like the bar for being a dad is so low that I look amazing by just doing what it is that I'm supposed to be doing. Like people will go, it's so amazing how much you help out with the kid. And I'm like, help out? It's my kid. You know what I'm saying? Like no one's patting me on the back for paying the mortgage. Like that's what I'm supposed to do.
Do you have any tips for Kristen and her husband, Mike, now as their new parents? And baby Frances is only like 10 days old, so she's just a little squirt right now.
Now, I can say, obviously, when it comes to parenting, nobody likes unsolicited advice, and every parent, every child is different. But I will say these are some things that I'm glad that we did and worked for us. Number one, I would say, don't, when your baby's sleeping, don't walk on eggshells around them. Like, don't be like, oh my God, the baby's sleeping. Oh my God, the baby's sleeping. Here's why. Because you are purposely making them a light sleeper. Live your life and they will get used to it. And then every single noise won't wake them up, right? And that's another thing, is just continue to live your life. I think a lot of people, as soon as they have a child, they go, okay, literally everything is different now. I must go completely by the book. Like my wife, when we first had him, she immediately, like he's 4 days old and she's immediately got Miss Rachel and like Coco Melon and stuff on. And I'm like, he has no frame of reference. He doesn't know. Like, so just watch whatever you, there will come a day. There will come a day when that baby goes to school and all his friends are talking about these shows and he's going to want to watch it. Right. But until then, dude, me and my son have been watching Dexter. We're rewatching Justified. He loves it. You know what I mean? Murder movies, like all of this stuff. He's too young to be able to repeat it. He just likes the colors. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. So I tell my sister, like my sister thinks like, oh, my daughter, she's got to watch. Every day we got to watch Beauty and the Beast and Mamma Mia. When I watch her, I put on Guardians of the Galaxy and she loves it. I'm like, you guys are intentionally making yourself miserable because we've been conditioned by the world to believe that being a parent is the hardest thing on earth and it has to be miserable. I'm here to tell you that it does not. Now, there's going to be hard times, but do what you want to do and your baby will acclimate to your environment.
Corey Ryan Forrester is our guest. He's a comedian and an author, along with Trey Crowder, of a new book called Round Here and Over Yonder.
Corey, I gotta ask a question. I'll preface this by a little quick travel. Steph and I, my wife and I, went to southern Illinois to the mountains and the caves and did a bunch of hiking. I had no idea how far north the South really went.
Yeah.
So as far as I look at, man, I think like the South starts like south of Chicago. From your perspective, where does the Midwest start?
Well, you know, honestly, a lot of people say Kentucky, the top of Kentucky, which is weird to me, but I will speak to the overall theme of your question, which is this. We as a society have been for years, and I assume it was because of the Civil War and how the Mason-Dixon line was divided. We have assumed that values run north and south when realistically values and cultural ideals run city and rural, correct? So if you drop someone off in Washington State, in the right part of Washington State, and you didn't tell them where they were, they would assume that they were in Mississippi, right? So that's just how it goes. Like, so I've met some of the biggest rednecks in the world in Illinois, right? And as I said earlier, the Midwest and the South have a lot in common, but I've also met some of the biggest rednecks in the world in New York State, right? Because as soon as you get out of the city limits and it's, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. All of a sudden, it's just the only difference is accents and what it is that you shoot. Some people have moose. Some people have deer. That's it. It's how you sound and what you shoot. That's the only difference.
Corey, I have, we're coming up to the end here, but I want to, real quick, you like the new season of Justified? Have you watched it?
I've watched the first couple episodes, and then as soon as I got through the first two, which I did, it's definitely a different feel, right?
It's slow. It's a slow burn.
It's slow. I decided, I was like, this is a little slow for me right now. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to rewatch the entire series of Justified, and then I'll be super pumped for it again. There you go. You know what I mean? So I did like it, but like, you know, it wasn't my Justified, but like, of course it's not. They're doing a different thing, yeah. You know?
And then also, as far as like Chicago, you guys talk about Chicago. I want you and Trey to come to Wisconsin,
yes,
and understand what real drinking is. You think Chicago drinks? That's cute. Aww. It's adorable what they think partying and drink. Come
they
to Wisconsin,
the same about y'all.
Where 41 of the drunkest counties out of 50 are right here in the state. Come
That's
to
what
Wisconsin.
I've heard. I've been to Wisconsin several times, but Madison, you know, which is like a college town. So that's a different type of, it's Midwest, but it's also college kids from all over. So maybe I didn't get a proper feel.
Come to Milwaukee.
Come to Milwaukee anytime.
Yeah, man.
And yeah. We'll love to have you back on the show anytime. You and Trey, and we can talk about books, we can talk about accents, anything you want. It's just always so much fun when you're here. Corey.
Well, y'all got my number. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Corey Ryan Forrester, check out his book called Round Here and Over Yonder. Follow him on Twitter and come back and join us tomorrow morning starting at 10 o'clock. News is next, followed by William Walters and the Town Call. Have a great day. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Amarillo by morning, Amarillo's where I'll be.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.